Hello everyone, that was Have Gun Will Travel with Resist the Machine, a timely directive as the machine is out of control. Welcome to Shop Talk. Tonight's show is going to be a relatively short one. I had a different show ready to go, but life happens, and death is never far behind, which is fine when occurring naturally, but is there anything natural about what's happening now? Well, actually, yes, because whenever our government is involved, naturally, for the rest of us, there will be hell to pay. I'm going to read just a bit of an article from the New York Post, but, you know, I cringe every time I see someone call Democrats demon rats, because it's so juvenile and stupid, and it's not nearly as clever as they think it is. But I can't help myself, so within the following paragraphs, I'm going to be juvenile and hypocritical a couple of times, but also somewhat clever. Here we go. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg ordered private drone flights suspended in the Hurricane Helene flood zone, sparking fierce outcry from those frustrated by the government's lackluster response to the deadly crisis. Drone pilots, do not fly your drones near or around rescue and recovery efforts for Hurricane Helene, the official Department of Transportation Twitter account wrote Tuesday afternoon. Interfering with emergency response operations impacts search and rescue operations on the ground. Considering the maddeningly slow pace of the rescue effort, Buttigieg effectively ordered residents not to fend for themselves and instead to put their trust in an agency many believe has already dropped the ball, adding insult to injury. You would think more eyes in the sky would be a good thing when there are people that need to be rescued, but what do I know? One Twitter user replied. Their help is worse than doing nothing, seized another. Private drones have been used to deliver items like insulin and baby formula to those in need, particularly those living in a more remote terrain who have been largely cut off from the rest of the world since the storm. Private citizen drones and helicopters have been saving lives for days and still are saving lives. You should be ashamed, read another tweet. Some users felt the order was an effort to prevent citizen journalists from capturing the true extent of the damage. You're hiding something, one tweet said accusingly. And I'm pretty sure they are hiding something. Actually, they're hiding a lot of things.
All right, my friends, no time to waste here. Did you know that the United States has multiple patents on how to steer and control hurricanes and tornadoes? Yes, this is very real, and it's backed by sources, as well as our own NOAA website, which discusses weather manipulation and what steps you or I would have to take in order to do our own weather manipulation. My friends, this is no joke. Many people believe that weather manipulation was used for Hurricane Helene, then somehow coincidentally stalled over the rare lithium-producing towns of Western and North Carolina, which is the exact location of the largest lithium deposit we have in the United States. Now, something to keep in mind while moving forward, ever since we left Afghanistan, we have lost the ability to mine lithium there, where most of it used to come from. Now we are stuck having to fill this insane demand we have for this lithium right here in the United States. Once again, the largest deposit being right over the towns that just got completely destroyed by this hurricane. Alright, so before I tie this all up with this lithium situation, this video you're looking at right now went super viral over the last few days. We have over 3 million views on this clip here, where we are talking about weird anomalies that were taking place right before landfall of Hurricane Helene. There's a lot of controversy about what's going on here, but these things pointed directly to where we saw landfall. Not only that, but we saw some weird scalar-looking beams in there, a lot of weird stuff that we were breaking down, and it's causing a lot of talk about this situation, which is the point here. We've already established that weather manipulation exists, but I want you to take a look at this from 2007, my friends. That's 17 years ago, and it came out from the Telegraph. It says, scientists a step closer to steering hurricanes. Now, in this article, they explain how they are using technology in order to control, manipulate, and steer these types of storms, including tornadoes. So when you take things like this, and you also add these patents that have been out for decades, you begin to see a picture picture being painted of what is really going on. Now, this isn't to say that every bit of weather is manipulated and controlled. It means that they have the capability of doing this, and it's right in your face. Now, I can't say for sure that Hurricane Helene was controlled by this type of technology, but it certainly looked like it was, and it certainly did epic, record-breaking damage that we have not seen in any of our lifetimes. So this will come down to you making your own conclusions and taking the data and making your own educated decisions on what you're seeing. We are in a place in history where it's almost impossible to be able to trust our own media or government, and I don't need to go over explanations on why that is. So now that we have all these steps in place, think about the situation as a whole. This wild hurricane comes barreling towards Florida, and we suspected that once this thing got close to land, it would rapidly intensify, and that's exactly what it did. And in my opinion, the reason that happened is because once it got close enough to our NEXRAD radar towers, it was then able to be influenced, as I've shown in many, many videos. All right, now finally, I just want to conclude with this. 1 year ago, almost to the day, as you can see in this article, North Carolina lithium mine to reopen with $90 million Pentagon order to help increase U.S. production. My friends, if this is not screaming to you right now, I don't know what else can. Just take a look at how much lithium we've used year to year up to 2024, and then once again, ask yourself, what are the chances that this flood takes place in the biggest spot in the United States that we can even mine this stuff? My friends, the information's there. I'm praying for every single person affected by this storm. What we are seeing out there is absolute tragedy, and it seriously makes my heart break.
Repeat.
To reduce the amount that can be paid out as compensation, Hurricane Helene was then artificially created, just like cloud seeding used to control and manipulate the weather, to flood and devastate those places and crash the value of land there.
Alexa, did North Carolina use cloud seeding during Hurricane Helene?
Yes, North Carolina has been cloud seeding during Hurricane Helene. Scientists injected silver iodide into the hurricane wall to steer the hurricane in another direction.
Alexa, was cloud seeding used in Hurricane Helene?
From egettalk.com. To reduce the amount that can be paid out as compensation, Hurricane Helene was then artificially created, just like cloud seeding used to control and manipulate the weather, to flood and devastate those places and crash the value of land there.
Dependent on one mineral called high purity quartz, and virtually the entire global supply of that quartz comes from one tiny town called Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Now, Spruce Pine saw 2 feet of rainfall from Hurricane Helene, and now nearly a week later, city officials tell me that there's still no water, power, or cell service. The infrastructure is completely disrupted to the point that roads and railways are so torn up that in some areas in the western part of the state, mules are being used to transport materials in and out. So the two companies that operate the quartz mines there, that's Sibelco and Quartz Corp, they tell us their work has been shut down since Thursday, and Quartz Corp adds that they have no visibility as to when operations can restart. So the question becomes not just whether the mines themselves have been damaged, but also whether it's possible to get the quartz out. Disruptions would impact not only the $5 billion quartz market, but the $600 billion semiconductor market that depends on it. And that quartz is also used in solar panels, fiber optic cables, and some light bulbs, which could all see some issues as well. And Kelly, I just spoke a few minutes ago with the head of TechSet. They track the quartz supply chain. Their best guess right now is 4 to 6 weeks until things are back up and running in Spruce Pine. And that's if the roads are able to be cleared. So that alone could lead to at least minor slowdowns for the chip makers. And every day that that timeline gets extended, Kelly, the impact just multiplies.
Are they still not there anywhere? What are you seeing from FEMA and the federal response, if any?
They're present. They're in the way. They are directly interrupting our ability to conduct missions and operations. Huh. And I'm not going to disparage anybody because we are trying to work within partner relationships, both government and non-government entities within state and federal and county. I went to put a couple of people into a hotel last night. They have a security guard at the hotel. They said, oh, we're so sorry. The entire hotel has been booked for federal employees. And I was like, no, I have people that were just pulled out of a mountain that are living out in the hills, and there's not a place for me to put them because we have federal employees that are staying in the hotel. I slept in this white car last night. I smell like foot and death right now, as does every single person on our team. Not a single one of us slept. We got done maybe at 3 o'clock the moment the sun was up and we could fly helicopters again. We were back in the air and we have not stopped. And I was on the fence about trying to get on this program or not. I want people to understand how incredible this organization is, Save Our Allies, and all the work that all of these volunteers are doing. But people, this is biblical level devastation.
Yep.
This is apocalyptic, the things that we see out there.
These are towns up in the mountains that are 10, 20, 40 miles away from any other town. And people on the ground like you need helicopters from the government, and they will not release them. I have heard that time and again. And the people who are delivering aid up in the mountains are now getting requests for body bags.
Oh, you're right about that. And there was a no-fly when the president flew in today. We had to land helicopters to not go rescue people so a photo op could take place. And that's a travesty, and that's unconscionable.
If people want to donate, is it Save Our Allies?
That's right. And if somebody is stuck somewhere or you know somebody that's stuck, you can go to saveourallies.org and you can click on there. Let us know. We have people going all over in the places that can't be reached. That's why we have special operations people working with partnerships to get into those areas. So go there, support that organization, and also let us know where to go.
Tim Kennedy, you are a great American. Thank you. And I know all of this devastated area thanks you and Save Our Allies as well. We appreciate you being on the program and just taking a couple moments out of rescuing people to tell us the story. Thank you, Tim Kennedy.
So I just left the airport. We picked up a flight of pediatric medical supplies that were brought in and are going to North Asheville. We were sitting in the private portion of the airport and we got to overhear an awful lot. The Army pilots, the Navy pilots, hospital representatives, there was a lot of chatter. While we were there, a private jet landed and four FEMA representatives got off. Four people off of a private jet. Come to find out, and you're not going to hear this, so let me tell you. Come to find out, Mission Hospital was told, a private hospital, that they are going to go ahead and be the morgue center for body recovery. All of the Army Chinook helicopters you're seeing flying overhead, they are doing body recovery. FEMA said, and you can take this as a direct quote, said that they are too tied up at the border to send any more representatives. Yeah, at the border. So anyhow, I guess border control trumps whatever's going on here. So they told Mission Hospital they are not sending refrigerated trucks so that they can stack the bodies up. And we also overheard that whatever fatality numbers you are hearing, and this is a quote, go ahead and add a couple of zeros. So FEMA's too busy with the border, a private hospital and the Army are going to take over body recovery, and private individuals with their private helicopters and their private planes are the ones who are flying in supplies. I was at Hangar 10, I was picking up supplies. There was a stack for the Cajun Navy. There was a stack that looked like it was ASPCA. These are all being sent by private individuals. FEMA is doing nothing. Go ahead and share that.
Hey guys. Good, how are you?
What can I do for you?
I'm Glenn, and
Glenn,
this is Congressman
Mills. Congressman Mills, how you doing?
We're
man?
Just wondering what you guys are up to. What's...
So they brought this in today, which gives us connectivity, complete connectivity, so we can do a lot more than we've been doing, because all of our equipment works now. So they're registering, they're telling them over there, we're over here. I think tomorrow they're moving us over there somewhere more, but I'm not exactly.
And what are you doing?
Actually registering people for FEMA assistance.
Okay, so this is the check thing?
Getting them in the system. Okay. Not just to check things, housing, checking generators.
Okay.
Housing.
Yeah,
so
good. Good.
But we're basically getting into the system.
And you guys got here today?
We've been here for 2 days. We got here yesterday. Yesterday we didn't have any connectivity, so we took 2,800 people, as near as we could count, coming through the food distribution line and through the gas station and handed them all flyers. We didn't even have flyers to hand them. Our flyers weren't here, but they could take pictures of our flyer, which told them they could go online, they could make a phone call, they could use your app to go online, just to get them in the system. Also telling them they're going to be here eventually, there'll be a DRC located nearby at Disaster Recovery Center, and they go there for help. But the app is great. The app, they can go on, they can upload documents through the app, so they don't need us.
Can I ask a question? And not stop. One of the biggest problems, though, is that most people don't have the ability, one, to even get on their phones to verify what is going on. How does people even know that this location exists?
So that would be the news media's job to tell everybody.
But they don't have power.
None of the news media. Well, I mean, I watch the news.
Well, no, the people who need the FEMA assistance don't have power. Well, so how do they watch TV?
You would be surprised. They sit in their cars to charge their phones and listen to the radio. They're very, very well. That's how they knew the distribution center was here. So they knew, were told to come here to get those supplies, and they don't know we're here really until they get here and we tell them and they see us over here.
But it is plausible, though, that those who won are either cut off from the location, because they're still rebuilding roads, obviously, at Cable Rest, or doesn't have power, won't know about even where this truck exists or if it does exist.
Right, and there's no way, actually. So we're DSA Disaster Survivor Systems, right? So what we actually do, we work items like these, and we actually go door-to-door. We go door-to-door and try to knock on every door in the county, and we go at the direction, usually, of the emergency manager, because the fire chiefs are going to tell us where people are.
Yeah.
Devastated, so we literally go door to door.
So when does that start?
That's way above my head. you're talking to Peon Eddie.
Yeah, okay.
You're not talking. Do you want to talk to my crew? Do you want to talk to my crew lead? Here, let me get my crew lead for you. She might have some answers.
But again, it goes back to my point, which is that, okay, so I need to fill out a form. I need to scan a flyer.
Yeah.
How do I know this exists? Oh, the local media. Okay, well, they don't have power.
Yeah.
They might not have a vehicle.
Right.
So what about
I saw a lot of them washed away.
That's right.
Hi.
Ma'am, how are you?
This is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. I'm Glenn. This is Congressman
Mills.
Hello.
How are you, ma'am?
Good.
So we're wondering, we just asked, when do you guys go door to door? He was telling that...
After we get the general stuff done, you know, we got to hit the mass people first, wherever the mass people are. So the mass people are here. Let's get them into the system as quickly as possible. Once we get the masses done, then we start going door to door.
Okay. How do people know you're here?
We just got here.
You just got here?
We were here yesterday.
Yeah.
And today's our first day with this unit.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow we're going to move the unit up by the car wash.
Oh.
Yesterday we couldn't do anything besides give them the information because we didn't have any Wi-Fi.
Right.
I will say, and this is just someone who's... We got lucky enough, Glenn actually spotted it before I did, but I think even having this vehicle more towards the front of the road where people even know that it exists, for visibility, with people coming by, might actually...
Yeah, we were in a van with eight people, and I was the only one that saw it.
Yeah. No, that's what we're going to do. That's good. What we got to do. We just needed a temporary spot to turn around and get things up and running.
Yeah,
and the guy that's running this facility here, I spoke with the manager here. He said this would be a good spot. The guy that's running the parking lot, who's a different guy, I didn't know that. He said the car wash would be better. And I was like, boy, that's really smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where we're going to be set up tomorrow. Good. And we should be doing registrations. We'll be here between 9 and 10. We're all coming in from Charlotte. He'll be here a little bit earlier. And then we'll start tearing down about 5 o'clock so that we can get out of here.
Great.
Because we don't necessarily go door to door. Not my cadre, anyways. There's 23 different cadres.
Oh, I know. I understand how the bureaucratic levels of departments work.
They
don't always work fair together.
Yeah, we concentrate in getting people into the system so that we can get the financial assistance away.
I love that.
And it's happening like that. Are you guys recording me?
he's filming. Yeah, over here. Okay. He's filming us.
So, you know, one of the first things that are coming out is special needs assistance.
Right.
And that's just a little bit of the account. People are going to think automatically that that's all they're going to get. No, that's not the case. That's just the beginning. That is just the beginning, because then there's going to be another much, much larger drop, and then there's going to be other things. But we still have to go through and verify the damages that have been done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that you own the house and that you are the renter.
So that you can limit the amount of fraud which we've seen in other areas.
We got it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We are all from different parts of the United States. I'm from Montana.
I'm from Florida.
Are you really?
Florida.
I'm from Texas.
Oh, golly gee. Where are you guys from?
I'm from Tennessee. I'm working on...
Today's their official first day.
What a bunch of bullcrap that was.
They got here yesterday, official first day. They're tucked away almost tight.
She's where the masses are.
Adam was staying up there because he was up.
Yeah.
No, she was up. She's where the masses are. Can't you see the masses lined up? They're not even in the right side of the parking lot. You want to be where the masses are, you put up signs at least, or your stupid little table in front of where the food is.
Well, but then she said,
But then you question, you said, when? He goes, well, that's above my head.
Yeah, and then, so let me talk to my manager. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the manager said, no, we don't go door to door. I don't know when that happens. That's a different department. Oh, my God.
You're kidding.
No.
That's exactly what was said.
No. It was that is
when, first when, day was when Glenn went silent. Yes. I knew he was done with this.
Oh, I
nonsense.
Was done from the very beginning.
Yes, I could,
I could see these guys.
But again, though, you wouldn't have even spotted them, Glenn.
I know, good eye.
Who knows that they were back here? And again, my recommendation I thought was pretty common sense, which is, hey, for more visibility, maybe you put yourself on the main road.
Yeah.
You want to serve the quote unquote masses. Let's go ahead and get mass visibility.
Look, the food and the stuff is down there. Their truck, it doesn't have a sign, hey, register for money, register for help. Just a communications truck.
Right.
And two people sitting at the table.
If you saw that, would you know that's your sign up for FEMA assistance?
No, I have no idea.
Wow, that's the sign up for FEMA
assistance?
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
that's it. You found it.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No way.
They put themselves in the quiet corner in the back.
That's right.
And you ready? We said, how do people know? Well, they're watching TV and they're listening
to radio. It's up to the
they
media.
They don't have homes.
That's what they literally said.
So to everybody that heard about all the supplies and planes that were coming from downtown Greenville Airport and flying up to North Carolina to deliver supplies, water, whatever anybody was donating and people were needing was being sent up there. Well, today it's awfully quiet and we see these helicopters lined up and they have a booth set up here and everything. Turns out that's FEMA. FEMA has shut down all the local donation operations that were going on and delivering supplies, and now they're saying that they're not allowed to deliver any more supplies anymore. So all these people, unfortunately, have all these supplies but cannot take it up there. So that's our government for you. Oh, and another thing, those helicopters that have been sitting there have been sitting there since this morning. Haven't seen a single movement. Just a bunch of impacking of important equipment and nothing happening. So I'm so sorry, North Carolina. We tried.
I really don't want to make this video, but it is literally a matter of life and death for the people of North Carolina. My name is Jonathan Howard. I'm a member of the Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit. And I'm also up here with Aerial Recovery, a nonprofit. I came up here on Sunday with Aerial Recovery before we even got activated. We flew up here and then we got activated, which was great. I have my team up here working as well. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening from the ground, what I'm actually seeing, because what they're telling you is complete bullshit on the news, and these politicians don't have a fucking clue and they're lying. And I'll say this now, I'll say it at the end of the video. The only thing I need from this video is helicopters. If I have helicopters, I can save lives. Without helicopters, I can't reach these people. It doesn't matter how many chainsaws and trucks I got, I can't get to them. They're 10 miles in, 20 miles, 40 miles in the mountains. There's no way to get with them or even communicate with them. I am literally flying around in a civilian helicopter looking for SOS messages carved in the mud or painted on the ground, and we're dropping down and saving them. What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-old baby. And all these government officials and social media, they're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that government helped with that. And I think it was USA Today wrote an article about it, saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Without that civilian, that baby would be dead. And the old lady we went and rescued after that, she'd be dead too, because she had one day left of oxygen. No one was going to go get them. I will tell you, when we go up in the air, I probably see 40 civilian helicopters, and I might see two Blackhawks, National Guard, military, whatever they are. That's it. No one's out there doing rescues. I have my entire team up here from Florida right now, and they have no ability to go rescue these people other than what they can drive to. And the people that are in dire need, they're out in the mountains. They are completely cut off. Now, I will say, I spoke to my congresswoman down in Florida, and she's a badass. And she made a bunch of phone calls, and now we got two contracted 60s coming up here tomorrow, which is great. I love that. But, like, I still don't understand why we don't have more helicopters. We'll get a lot of work done with that. But there's no military. There's no one's doing nothing. I just, it blows my mind. And they're not even allowing people to see what's really going on. One of our friends yesterday, They were actually escorting CNN down a late lore, and the sheriff department would not let them go videotape the bad areas, how destructive it is. I don't know why they don't want to show you all that, but it is bad. I should also say, when I flew here on Sunday, they actually stopped us from going in, the sheriff department. And it was because of a bunch of politics that they were claiming was a Speaker of the House of North Carolina that was preventing us from even going in and trying to kick us out, which I have clarified today with North Carolina politicians that reached out to me, good on them. And they were like, that's complete bullshit. Speaker of the House has nothing. He wants you guys there. But this is the kind of political BS that is happening here right now. Everyone's trying to be in charge without taking any type of action. Nobody wants to coordinate with anybody. Everybody wants to pretend like they're being the hero while these people are literally fucking dying in the mountains. These people are limited medication, they're running out of oxygen, and there's no one going to get them. The most effective way I have found to go find these people is by getting in a helicopter and flying down the rivers and roads and looking for SOS messages or people waving us down. And then we drop down and get them. We have all these people here. We have law enforcement, we have State Guard, National Guard. They have no way to go get these people. Yesterday, when I was at the Asheville airport refueling, which, by the way, the civilian is paying all this out of his own pocket. He's not even looking for a reimbursement. I think we did 4 refuelings yesterday, and that was like just in half a day's work. We're in Asheville, and I saw 2 Air Force helicopter 60s, and I knew there were PJs just looking at them. And I went up to them like, hey, guys, like, what are y'all doing? And this is what you need to be doing. This is how I'm finding people. And they're like, we can't go. We're waiting on Title 10 orders. And I'm like, what? They can't get any authority. There's military helicopters all over here sitting on the ground, and they can't do nothing. Even my JSOC boys in Fayetteville, they can't get orders to come out here. It is just the most disgusting thing, and they're killing these people. And I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what kind of conspiracy. I've heard so many things, whatever you want to come up with, but they are literally allowing these people to fucking die in the mountains right now because we can't get helicopters. They got money for everything else in the fucking world right now, but if they could just get us helicopters, we could fly out there and rescue these people. So I hope this video goes viral. I hope these politicians get fired. I hope people get pissed off. They'll probably kick me out of the state of North Carolina for doing this, but you know what? I don't care, because if I can save one more life for it, it's fucking worth it to me.
Hey guys, I'm in Western North Carolina. We're working on day 6, and we still have rescue choppers flying overhead. I think I've got a little bit of survivor's guilt that our town was spared, but we need the help. The whole town was wiped out, and I'm talking about everybody was killed. Fucking media is lying to you. And we need the help, and we need it bad. We can't go help. We can't go save anybody. We've been threatened. We'll get arrested. I can't imagine the people that are still up there holding on to survive. I mean, we still got electric trucks going all over the place here. Got trees down, tree on my house in the back. It's incredible. It's incredible that we, the people, are willing to let the government tell us that we are not allowed to save our own people. It's bad. It's really fucking bad. It's worse. It's beyond any nightmare that you can fucking have. There are bodies everywhere up there floating around, buried under mud. Cemeteries most likely have flooded, which means there will be caskets and shit floating around. That I don't know of, but I do know that a town was wiped out completely. Everybody killed. And the only people saving them are the people that are there, saving each other. And then they're all stuck together. Fuck our government. You fucking showed your faces with this fucking disaster. And all I got to say, fuck you.
When I tell y'all I'm super frustrated at the moment is not a lie. For the past 48 hours, I had planned to go to East Tennessee, you know, Irwin, Newport, and all that tomorrow. And for the last 48 hours, I've also been on the phone with EMA operational people trying to see who may need my thermal drone most and whoever I could assist better. And then I get a phone call and an email where we're being told to stand down. I've also spoken to rescue crews that are there right now. And it's one thing I'll say about social media. Most people know, and somebody knows somebody and they see somebody. I've had emails where I've had a woman named Laura ask for help. Her brother got swept away. They have a video of him being swept away. And she's just asking for help to get him. And yet we're being told to stand down. I have heard from people, Danielle and Alex, no offense to y'all. I've heard from these two people about how he went to take generators and supplies there and he was turned down. The water, food, stuff like that, turned down. Why? You have people that really need things. And I get it. It's such a disarray. I understand this was all so fast. But at the end of the day, man, putting a halt to everything while there's people's lives at stake that are sitting out there somewhere that don't have anything, that may be trapped, may be hurt, and you're asking people to stand down that have the capabilities to help somebody, it doesn't make sense to me. Make it make sense. I don't understand. Now, if you was going to tell me, hey, the military's coming in here, Coast Guard's coming in here, they're in here immediately, maybe it would. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. But being told, hey, man, yeah, just hold off for a minute. We're trying to get things figured out. Steve Fisher got told the same thing. Others have been told the same thing. Even crews that are in there working right now have been told to stand down. Why? And it's in certain locations. But when TEMA comes out and says it, it's for the whole general area across Tennessee. And I'm sure the Carolinas are doing the same, Nashville. Frustrated is an understatement, man. My whole life, I've done things I messed up. For the past 10 years, I've done everything I could to change who I am and just to generally rebuild myself. And I always told myself, no matter what, be selfless, help others, no matter what. Nobody's situation is worse than anybody's. And when people get in a bind like this, everybody needs help. So you do whatever you can to get off your ass and you go help them. And it just frustrates me because I have something that I know would help. Steve has one of the best drones there is. He has 30MT. That is one of the top fucking thermal drones, man. And yet we're being told to stand down. It doesn't make sense to me. I won't be in the way. Hell, I have trucks, trailers. I could bring water, food, anything they need. I could stock it full, bring it to them. But I'm being told to stand down. Why? Make it make sense. Do you know there's videos right now going around of people fighting for water that's coming off these trucks? If y'all ain't seen it yet, you will. It's unreal, man. It's famine. I mean, it is absolutely destroying to one's core and heart to watch people, just everyday people, be put in a situation like this and have to fight for food in their life. I'm getting emotional about this because it pisses me off. I don't understand it. While my kids and my wife's in here laying down and they're sleeping in a comfortable bed tonight, you have families that have nothing anymore, swept away, gone. But yet, we're being told to stand down. For what? Please tell me why.
Yeah, so the tragedy in North Carolina is just highlighting the fact that the government is nothing but violent middlemen, just geriatric criminals who do nothing but step in between the interactions of average Americans to justify their existence. People always say, we need the government, they protect us, yet you can't sell lemonade without a permit, you can't braid hair or feed the homeless without a license, and you can't help people stuck in a disaster zone without food, water, or medical care without the threat of arrest. We have Americans with resources, helicopters, boats, supplies, and the gumption to get it done who are being threatened with arrest if they continue to try to help or rescue people. Why? Well, because the government needs to justify its existence in order to keep existing. It's not about helping people. It's about letting everyone know we're the ones that keep you safe from the world. They can't have average citizens helping each other, because if they did, then the average citizens might look around and go, hey, we actually got this done in way less time, way less money, and way more efficiently than we've ever seen the government do anything. So why are we paying you again? Why are we listening to you again? Why are we allowing you to lord over us again? Why are we allowing you to threaten us with violence again? Why are we allowing you to send all of our resources to places like Ukraine and Israel again? All while our fellow Americans suffer? Yeah, the government can't have that. They thrive on the power that they siphon from our daily interactions and disasters like North Carolina, all while telling us it's for our own good. They need us to need them, and they'll do whatever it takes to maintain that dependency, even if it's the threat of violence or throwing you in a cage, even if it's allowing Americans to waste away in a disaster zone just for the sake of saving face. The next time you hear a politician talking about the greater good and working for you and public service, just remember the fact that the only reason why they exist is because you have to depend on them. And the only reason why you have to depend on them is because they made that happen via violence. And the kicker? Some people just can't stop begging for more. We hand over our freedom, our income, our lives, all because we've been sold a lie that we can't manage without them. When they're making helping people unlawful, you should really start thinking about all the laws.
Guys, I am coming to you with an emergency announcement. I've been raising funds through GoFundMe because I had a feeling that this exact thing would happen. I've been told not once, not three times, not five times. I've been told countless times now that donations need to be taken to churches. Why is that? This entire time, I knew that FEMA wasn't going to do anything. And if they did, they weren't going to do it very well. Our community has banded together to help one another, which is a great thing to see. But here is what is terrifying. The fact that Western North Carolina, the lithium mine, Forget about the human life. You don't hear about East Tennessee. You don't hear about East Tennessee at all. I've been doing as much as I possibly can to raise funds for our community in this region. I've been helping people fix their houses up, get water out. This is so disgusting. So I've been told this, again, countless times. I've been told this, and I said, I need to verify this story before I post it and I report on this, because this is unbelievably disgusting. But what could we expect from our government? Nothing short of full corruption. Red Cross and FEMA/TEMA has arrived, and all donations that have been given to local high school volunteers have been confiscated. I have been told this directly. Here's a source. Starting with David Crockett High School, they're taking over all volunteer schools in Washington County and Greene County. That's only two counties of the other seven. So many more counties that are affected by this flooding. Greene County was hit harder than Washington County. Carter County was devastated in Johnson County. So in order for anyone to get donations that was given, they must be approved. Why? People need food and water and clothes. They've lost everything. Their house went floating down a river in a pile of rubble and lumber. All monetary donations have been taken as well and placed into a TEMA account. If you are unaware of how that works, those items don't get used for this particular disaster. Folks, what disasters are we having in East Tennessee? We don't. This is a once in a century type of storm. This flooding, it hasn't been experienced in this region in my entire life of 30 years, but in everyone in this area's life. That's why they're so wholly unprepared to experience anything like this. Volunteers have been asked to leave and were told in order to help, they must be trained by United Way. Isn't that funny? I'm working on another video that is involved with United Way and the Bill Gates family. It's real funny, huh? How you had to be trained by United Way to help serve your community in a volunteer capacity? Ridiculous. Please, I know I've already made a post on Red Cross and FEMA the other day, but please, if you donate, donate to a church or give to individuals that can't take supplies from churches. Church members will make sure that your donations get into the correct hands. Guys, I have been posting incessantly on X about how there is nothing happening. Our community has banded together. I've witnessed it firsthand doing it myself. People are going out and helping their neighbor. People are going to other counties and spending hundreds of dollars, as my family and I have done, thousands of dollars, to take food and water. These people, they haven't had power in a week, haven't had water in a week. And then we get this. The Biden administration doesn't care. They've never cared. They send hundreds of millions of dollars to Taiwan. They send hundreds of billions of dollars to Israel and Ukraine. But people in America are dying. They are in need of help. Not because they don't work hard, because they've worked hard their whole lives and paid taxes and nothing to show for it. And when they lose their house, they're forgotten about that quick. Don't give me this, oh, he signed something into law. He signed a bill and aid before the storms even happened. Oh, so before the storms even happen, so we want to get into conspiracy talk then. Why can't he say East Tennessee's name? How about you do that, Joe Biden? How about you do that? But you won't. Western North Carolina, Georgia, they need help too. But we have been completely forgotten. And now we see this. Guys, I don't even know what to say. In fact, there's nothing to say. We know how our government is. We know our tax dollars are spent on bullcrap that we don't approve. Quite frankly, our tax dollars go to murder people overseas. So thank you. I'm going to continue to dig into this, and I'm going to find the bottom of this. I will get to the bottom of this, and I'm going to raise hell when I get to it. Now let's look at the last thing that we need to address. We need to look at the fact that FEMA is supposed to be helping. You see what they're doing with the donations? You see how you have to be tactful with how you donate to the community? Well, you just can't donate. If you think I'm crazy and I sound crazy, wait until you see this. The Biden administration has announced through Alejandro Mayorkas that FEMA doesn't have enough funds for the rest of hurricane season. Excuse me, hold on a second. Here's what's going to happen. We don't have enough funds to support our own tax-paying, freedom-loving citizens of this country. But we can send infinite, print more money so that we can send more money to foreign countries so that we can prop up the military-industrial complex so that we can continue these forever wars that they don't want to end. They want to break up Russia. I'm not going to get on that soapbox. What we need to consider is, how do we not have the funds? How does FEMA not have the funds? Why are they taking donations from citizens? Listen, if I know anything about this government, about our government, I know that this destruction is the same scenario as what's happening in Gaza, where the entire Gaza Strip is destroyed. It's all rubble. And BlackRock comes in and buys the real estate. BlackRock is already buying all our real estate in America. They're already buying it. We're all going to live in 15-minute cities and paying rent. You will own nothing and be happy. This is what's going to happen. How does FEMA not have funds? We pay taxes. They want to raise our taxes so that they can send money overseas. I want to say that I am in utter disbelief, but I'm just angry.
So we now know FEMA is insolvent. It's insolvent. They've given all the money away for these disasters to people that are non-citizen. You are going to be facing winter very soon if you're in these mountains. This is a dire situation. Politicians have finally been caught with their hands in the cookie jar because of the internet. We were able to research this thing, and the transparency of this is terrible. And I'm going to help you figure out what's going on. There's just things that don't add up. And check out what he has to say.
You deserve to hear this. I'm a truck driver. I have a 53-foot step deck. I've been trucking for about 2.5 years. I have a YouTube channel. You can verify that on Babyline Hotshot. Usually in a disaster situation, it is payday for truckers. We look for that hurricane. We look for that ice storm. There's generators coming to you. There's stuff coming out of military bases. There is excavators, skid steers, bulldozers, tree trimming equipment, pumps, like water pumps to pump water out of places that have been flooded. There's no loads on the load board coming to you within 125 miles of Asheville. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing. These are loads that nobody's taking them. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, what the hell's going on here? I had brokers call me and tell me, Stu, have you seen any loads going to Asheville or like anywhere around the Carolinas, South Carolina, Georgia? Is there any like FEMA loads? There's none. Zero. He's been a broker for 6 years and he's talking to other brokers. They're saying the same thing. What's going on, guys?
Where was the transparency in any of this? There was none. And now they're trying to cover it up. They're caught. And now they're starting to launch congressional inquiries on where is all the aid? Why was it stopped? Why was it halted? I've told you in the videos prior to this why it was halted. And because of the rural areas that it's in, they thought they were going to be able to cover it up. The internet and everybody that just banded together and sent stuff on Twitter. You can follow me at Jack Motley Live on Twitter. They said, you know, we've had enough and here's the truth. And the media has spun it and they're saying that everything was done that could be done. That's not true. I've proved to you the government has the ability to fix this. They could have provided aid immediately and they have not. Hold these politicians accountable.
I mean, we're in a situation right now where the civilians are out there, just the normal people are helping each other to their left and the right, delivering supplies, goods, and people are just searching for information. The amount of comments that have come through on my last few videos where I've talked about this, it's staggering to see people have a thirst for information and nobody trusts the media anymore, and rightfully so. After going through hurricane after hurricane, Ivan, Katrina, Opal, Aaron, Sally, recently we went through Sally and it was a terrible experience. I mean, it came right up that road right there and destroyed everybody's life. I think she's right about the Army looking for bodies, and I think they have directed a lot of the resupply to the civilian side. I think a lot of these sheriff's departments are overwhelmed, search and rescue overwhelmed, sheerly by the ability to move around the map. Without having airlift at the Army level, being able to bounce around the map, you're going to see a lot of these people, the scheme of maneuver, the ability to move around the map is going to be the hardest part. Saw this in Afghanistan. An entire division in the United States Army called 10th Mountain. They specialize in mountain warfare, mountain logistics, everything to do with the mountain. And these guys could be on top of that mountain tomorrow directing exactly how this needs to be done. I'm not trying to belittle any of the sheriff's departments or any of the local areas. I'm just saying there are professionals that are just hours away that the government could call in and fix this situation. Just yesterday, they interviewed President Biden, and here's what he said.
What states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Okay.
What are the states in the storm zone? What do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need, and they're very happy across the board.
He didn't even know which storm. To people like us in the South, these storms destroyed lives on the Gulf Coast of Florida, all the way up Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee. People's homes are gone. Everything they have in this world is devastated. And now we're seeing the wholesalers come in asking to buy their properties pennies on the dollar. The corporations are going to come in and try to get their lands for penny on the dollar, many of which they inherited. And when you're staring at a complete catastrophic event, you're wondering, like, do I just sell and move out? Please don't. Please don't allow them to take your properties pennies on the dollar. Ask questions. Go down these rabbit holes of why are they wanting to be here. The ore in the North Carolina mountains is worth a crazy amount of money. Don't take my word for it. Start Googling. Where's all this quartz going? Where's all this lithium going? Why do they want to mine it? What kind of mines are coming in here? And what does it have to do with Taiwan? What does it have to do with chip making, semiconductor making? There is a big market for the area of Asheville, just north of it, west of it, east of it. These mountains are worth a fortune, and they're going to try to buy them for pennies on the dollar. Make sure everybody around you, y'all understand there's a reason why there's roadblocks of this age.
A woman and her husband left their home, came back the next day, and found they had 15 cats, 5 dogs, and a father-in-law, and found them all dead except for 4 cats. And the story was hard to hear. But it's the look in her eyes that I can't forget. Last night, somebody was at the river just looking at the destruction and cars upside down, and saw Halloween costumes floating down a river. And then she saw faces and realized they weren't costumes. She said, I've seen bodies and I'm not okay with that. And then somebody called and said, when is somebody gonna come collect all the bodies that have piled up along the embankment of the river? And then a man called saying, I need 911. At my house. And somebody said, why? Are you okay? And he said, yes, I'm okay. But I opened my front door and there are several bodies in my front yard. This is the stuff I'm having a hard time with. So I want to make it better for everybody and I can't do anything. So anyway, these tears aren't about us, and I didn't mean to cry, but I can't talk about this without this. And I'm sure because the emotional stress that we're under right now is beyond anything.
It seems like the government is just restricting things they shouldn't be restricting. They'd restricted drone flights into these localities, into these locations. Like right now, search and rescue uses a lot of drone technology. Deer hunters use drone technology to find deer that are dead in the woods or wounded and they need to get to them. And sometimes, you know, running around at night, it's pretty hard to find a wounded animal. But you put a drone up in the air with a heat signature and some type of thermal device and you can find them. And that's what a lot of these guys were trying to do at the beginning of this search and rescue is, man, we can put 20, 30 drones up in the air, scout out the mountain, we can see the heat signatures, even if somebody's hurt, okay? Or even if they've passed away, you can see the thermal heat imaging of them around everything else, okay? In Iraq, they did the same thing fighting IEDs. You can see the heat difference on the road between the device and everybody else that's around it. And the search and rescue devices, these drones, is what they were using to try to find people in the woods. But the federal government comes out and says, you can't do that. We're restricting you, putting you on the ground. The FCC, the FAA, they will say, we're going to fine you if you're caught flying in this area. Well, that just took 30, 40, however many was out there, eyes off the battlefield. Kept them from being able to go out and find these people in need. What if that could have saved another 5, 10, 15 lives? What if somebody that's stuck on the side of the mountain that you don't even know they're up there is still up there? And most of these drones operate well below where many of these planes are flying. And it is not really that big of a deal. I think we're technologically past this now. When you're in the middle of the woods in the mountains, that there's probably enough airspace to fly a drone to look and see if somebody needs help. This is probably also one of the reasons why they're blocking a lot. They don't want the media and they don't want people to see how many dead people there are. This happened during the cough. This happened. They didn't want people to see it. They didn't want people to report about it because it would scare people. Well, in this situation, the government wants to be in charge of everything. and they don't want civilians. They want you to ask the government for help. They don't want civilians to be able to help themselves. And that's what really frustrated me in my first video, is that we pay excessive amounts of taxes. We should get help. If you don't want to help us, then don't take our taxes. The Constitution said so. We should be able to fund our own Cajun Navy. Look, the Cajun Navy is one of the most amazing, amazing rescue operations you'll ever find. Louisiana, Gulf Coast, these guys did amazing stuff, okay? Civilians, with their own logistical support, with their own boats, went out there and made it happen. We saved ourselves here on the Gulf Coast. We pulled our own security here on the Gulf Coast. Our sheriff's department worked themselves to death doing great things. It's not that the assets don't exist. They just won't use them. They want to keep asking from these fundings for FEMA and all these other government infrastructure that never get it done. And listen to this lady right here talking about TEMA and all these other agencies.
We have no power. We have no running water. But I'm just so pissed off that I've got to make this clear. We got a notification from TEMA. I'm guessing that's FEMA for Tennessee. I'm not exactly sure. It's supposed to be the disaster relief people. But they were like, do not donate your time. We don't want you to donate time unless we ask for you. And we don't want you to donate stuff to other people. You need to just donate money and stuff to us and get your instructions from us and listen to us. What? And then they said yesterday, we don't go into areas that the roads are not easily accessible. What? You are the disaster relief people. Like, that is your job, to go into the areas that are hit by disaster and provide relief, not to just go to the easy area and sit and wait for the people that are in the disaster area to be able to come to you. The roads that we do have were cleared by the locals. And you have to have trucks and stuff to be able to get through there. It's just beyond me. And you have us all messed up. If you think you're going to come here and bark orders at us and then expect the people just to give you the money and us trust that you're going to try to take care of us when you don't go into areas that are not easily accessible. What? This is Cott County, girl. So donate to our local churches, because they will make sure that the people that need it will get it. And while we appreciate what help you're trying to provide, I don't think you understood the assignment, because it's not to just go to one location in hopes that the people in the disaster area can make it to you. So just sit back and watch, and we'll show you how it's done, but we're not going to stop. So please and thank you.
The truth is coming to light, and it is baffling how this stuff is not being reported. The misinformation is crazy, and the only real place you can find some real authentic information is from the people and their cell phones sharing it on social media. Just regular people like me and you. The looting, the death toll is way worse than we actually thought it was going to be.
First of all, some really dumb rules have been implemented, y'all. One of our big shelters and distribution centers, the health department told the refugees, those that are lost everything, that they could not use the shelter showers without flip-flops. Dumbest thing I have ever heard. These people have lost everything, and you won't let them take a hot shower without flip-flops? Huh! Well, when I got that call, thank you, friends, and thank you to Larry and Concord, who hooked us up at the nail supply place, because we sent 18,000 pairs of flip-flops up to the shelter this morning, where one of my girlfriends took a trailer up so people can take a shower. Those are the kind of rules that don't help in a time of absolute survival disaster. That's number one. Number two is, if you're reading about FEMA online and wondering if they're really a pain in the tail, I can confirm it is true. I tried to send in a pallet of chainsaws 2 days ago, and we had to divert it somewhere away from FEMA because they wanted to confiscate. FEMA, those ain't your chainsaws. Our mountain people are much better with them than y'all are, although I'm sure there's some very fine people that work for FEMA. I'm talking about the organization. But those saws need to be in the hands of the guys on ATVs down in the holler and up on these trees where there are blocked roads where we can get access to our neighbors who are still stranded. This is not a one-time little five-minute storm. There are people that we have not gotten to yet, and we want to get to them. That's why those chainsaws are up there. So, fine, we're going to go around you, FEMA, and don't try to get in the way of North Carolina mountain people when we are trying to take care of each other. You should also know I had a shipment trying to go in last night that got stopped because somebody wanted to inventory it, so we diverted that one elsewhere to get it into the hands of an apartment complex of seniors that have been neglected.
There is story after story, video after video, where civilians have taken their own equipment to hand out chainsaws, to hand out food, water, only to have it intercepted by FEMA or threats of arrest. Hey, you can't go in there. Then they take the equipment and they put it in some storage facility and it probably never even gets distributed. I went on the White House website to look what kind of aid that was put down 2-3 days ago. They said 1,000 soldiers were headed to help with aid. When you dissect 1,000 soldiers down to how many are actually out there on ground handing equipment out and bullets, beans, and band-aids and food and water and everything, out of 1,000, you might have 150, 100 actually out there doing something. The rest is support. Same way with FEMA, same way with all these people, and many of these government employees are taking up the hotel rooms and the places to stay that the people that actually need the help can't even get in to stay. This is bigger than the individual level. This is about land grabs. This is about ore. This is about mining. This is about large corporations coming in to take your land. And it seems like blow after blow, they are putting roadblock after roadblock in front of everybody that lives in North Carolina around the Asheville area. It seems like they don't want the aid to get there. It was such a slow, slow process. And I've detailed this in my last two videos on this issue, what the Army could have done, what politicians could have done, and they have not done it. The resources are there. They've just been misappropriated. They've been turned to the wrong places. The checks have gone to places they shouldn't have gone. And now this is about bailouts. This is about government asking for more money from the politicians, from the lawmakers, from Congress to say, hey, we need more money. They misappropriated it, and now they want more money.
They're going to come back and say, we need more money for FEMA. It's just not enough money. And that's what politicians always do. They always ask for more money to solve the problem instead of solving the problem. Check out this right here that was on the news.
Is also to make sure that the communities who are potentially impacted are prepared as well. And it's not just hurricanes and fire, wildfires, also extreme heat, which certainly some parts of the United States are already experiencing.
Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas sounding the alarm on FEMA funding right after the devastation of Hurricane Helene. Listen.
We are meeting the immediate needs with the money that we have. We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
This all comes as the Biden-Harris administration spent over $1 billion from a FEMA program on services for migrants.
Gotta really start saying enough is enough. We're tired of this. We're gonna change out the entire crowd in Washington, in the local state legislatures, because this is enough. I'm tired of watching U.S. citizens that paid their taxes not get any aid. They could have tracked it in on mules, which they're doing right now. The government could have done this if the trucks weren't available. Heck, the Viet Cong did it on bicycles. The Taliban did it on motorcycles. You can get aid in there, and we could have gotten in to help these people. We could have walked it in if we had to. But the fact that everybody sat around for days, a week now, and there was nothing being done should crawl your stomach.
On the screen here, I'm going to put the units of the United States Army that is just 3-4 hours away. You've got the Marine Corps, you got Fort Bragg, you got many other little forts all around North Carolina that are just a few hours away. The 82nd Airborne, any of those divisions could have rallied up, they could have staged the night before, and they could have been in Asheville the next morning. And they could have had a logistical convoy miles long. They could have removed those roads in a week. You would already have aid and roads established in Asheville if they truly wanted to. Remember back in the day, and I've talked about this at length, when they would airlift entire battalions into the jungles of Vietnam, when pathfinders would go in and make landing zones all over Afghanistan and Iraq. Hey, trust me, a lot of us global war on terrorism vets were there. A lot of us, we did it. When there was so many Black Hawks or Huey helicopters that would almost darken the sky, that would literally make dust storms in the desert because there was so many of them. This kind of stuff just eats me up. You know, there was a time when you saw the federal government coming or the flag flying, there were men of honor coming to help you. When you saw on the horizon that help was coming, there was not a shadow of a doubt in your mind. This was going to be our saving grace. You knew that help was coming when you saw that on the horizon. Now you got to wonder, are they going to steal our materials we're trying to give to those in need? Are they going to give us a ticket? Are they going to arrest us for helping? Are they going to require us to have a permit to help? Are they going to restrict our movement? Are they going to confiscate our stuff? I mean, what are we talking about? It's just video after video of misinformation.
We're coming into election season. We are in election season. We're in October. The next month is going to be a really problem time for voters in these red states. And you got to start asking yourself, could that be a reason for all these people getting to the ballots and actually casting their ballots is going to be hard. There's not going to be power in a lot of these places. Their homes are gone. Mobility and transportation is going to be horrific. And winter is coming in. It's going to get cold. It's going to get colder in these areas in the next month. October here in Florida is always cold at Halloween. And this is where they're going to be. You really got to say, are these children, these elderly in the mountains, are they going to be able to survive this? And the federal government, heck, Biden didn't even know that there was a hurricane. And that is just, enough is enough.
Look, a lot of these places are not passable. Have you ever been to Pigeon Forge, the Appalachian Mountains, any of these places? When you go up there, sometimes there's no way in, no way out. I mean, we're talking tiny roads. They bend, they turn. It's not like you just get in and out. And those that leave, they're worried about their places getting looted. They're worried about their animals. They're worried about the places they were born, not being able to get back to them, or they might not be there when they get back. There's no law in these places. And when you see these places, you realize you're your own law. That's why the Second Amendment is so big in disasters, okay? The looters, the marauders, the crime, the police are not coming. If you live in these areas, you better protect your own. This is what the Second Amendment is for. You, your neighbors, your friends, your family, you protect what you've got. Because if you do not, somebody will come and take it from you. If you call 911, they won't answer. They'll show up in 2 weeks, 10 days, and then they'll do a police report. Meanwhile, your stuff's gone. Your food's gone. Your generator's gone. Your gasoline's gone. Diapers and food for your family are gone. And the sad part of that, some of it is the people that don't have anything are taken from those that do. People do very weird stuff when they're hungry and their kids are hungry and they will turn on each other. So it is up to you in these areas, these SHTF events, when it hits the fan, you got to know you have to protect your own. That shotgun, that was grandpa's shotgun, everybody said, now you shouldn't have because we live in a politically correct world, is your saving grace. It's your life force. It's what's keeping those animals at bay. It's keeping the snakes that are coming out of the holes at bay. Because when it rains for a long period of time, the snakes come out of the hole. Water moccasins are everywhere. Rattlesnakes are everywhere. Looters show up. You're protecting your own. You get in there. You make sure you're prepared for these events. If this hasn't happened to you, start preparing. Week's worth of food and water, gasoline, shotgun shells. Make sure you prepare for these because they're happening so randomly and all the time now. Again, FEMA, it's insolvent. There's no way they're going to fix it without bailing it out. And you know what's really sad is the amount of money they spend overseas. They'll spend billions over billions over billions of dollars overseas and nothing for us. Nothing. $750 is what they said you're worth, and that's if you qualify for it. Most of these people are not going to qualify for it. They really need it. Or it's going to take days to get it. Were they going to Cash App it to you? Venmo it to you? It's going to take days for it to come in. Meanwhile, you're not going to have anything. The savings, people don't have the savings for this. And this is me ranting to vent to y'all. Hopefully you're understanding what I'm saying, that I'm on the little man's side. I'm on the side of everybody that is going through this. And I'm pointing the finger at politicians and their fancy suits out there in the air conditioning. And they're saying, let me get my photo op because it's election season.
Look, here's my thought on this. If we've got the money to give to other countries, cool, go for it. But if we don't have the money to give to other countries, don't give it. U.S. citizens that are in need come first. If assets are on a military base not being used and those soldiers probably need the training anyways, send them. Don't tell me it's state versus federal versus this versus that. It's common sense. Hey, sir, we're in a situation here. Can you have those boys at Bragg suit up for a month and come out here and help us? Because we got people dying. We got people dying and we need help. Those guys would have been in those Humvees, those LMTVs, in those helicopters with their rucksacks ready, and they would have been 100% happy to help U.S. citizens in need, just like they do overseas. They would have been ecstatic to get down there. Instead, they're watching this just like we're watching this, saying, why can't we go do something? Hey, sir, why can't I send my battalion down there and help some people? Just like we did in Afghanistan, just like we did in Iraq, just like we're doing in Syria, just like we're doing in Africa, South America. They could have airborne in, used those jump wings, and done some things. They could have dropped it out of helicopters, could have dropped it out of airplanes. They could have scoured the mountainside. Heck, half those drone operators might be needing something to look at. Those guys that are going through drone school, those guys that are in these units now trying to learn drone warfare, perfect example of getting some experience right now. Go find some people in need. Like, let's use the stuff we got for problems that we got. But as Tupac said, there's always money for war, but none for the poor. And it's really ringing strong to me right now.
We start holding these politicians accountable. The left, the right, the red, the blue, the in the middle. Don't let them get away with this. Call these politicians' office saying, where are you? Where are you? Why haven't you been to my town? Why haven't you been to my area? What is your plan? And don't let them get out there and say, well, we're doing things. We're sending troops. What are you sending? How many bags of toilet paper? How many gallons of gasoline? How many chainsaws? How many bulldozers? How many soldiers are on the way? What's the logistical lines? What is the airborne operations that are going to happen? What's the airlift campaign going to look like? Where's the fuel coming from? Where's the landing zones? Where's the rally points? If we're stuck in Asheville, where's the rally points? If the governors and the states couldn't cover it, they should have asked for help. And this like bureaucracy of which budget it comes from, posse comitatus, like all these things saying, hey, we're going to ask for funding at the state level, the local level, and we're going to keep it here. Well, if you don't have the power to do it, you ruck up, you ask for help, you get the boys in the green to show up, and there should have been a convoy miles long headed that way. Because these are U.S. citizens. These are people in need. Where were they? Hold your governor responsible for not asking for help if he couldn't handle it. Hold your sheriff responsible. Hold these local senators responsible. These state legislatures, where were they? And they better not show up in their $5,000 suit either. They show up, their t-shirts, their combat boots, and say, let's pick up some limbs, let's cut some trees. What can we do? That's what's frustrating me about all this. You know, nobody wants to talk about the winter's coming now. In the next 3, 4, 5 weeks into late October, November, it's going to start getting cold up there. It's going to start to snow soon. And these people are going to be in the cold with nothing, hungry. All this money is being spent at the border. People have really, really, really got to start questioning what they're allowing politicians to do when the entire FEMA budget gets spent at the border. And they've said this. This is a public announcement. And you're going to start seeing them pulling their little websites down because they've been announcing all these big expenditures for migrants down at the border and throughout the United States. But meanwhile, the people that pay taxes, the people have put all this money into the system, you get nothing. You got to really start questioning this. The cleanup is going to be wild. A lot of this ground is polluted now. You got to think about every gas station that got washed away, all these cars that got washed away. It's all over everything. In these houses, they smell like sewer. They smell. Have you ever been in a house once it's been flooded and that humidity sets in and the mold sets in and all these things? The sanitation services, everything is just, it is indescribable. A lot of the things that are going to happen to these areas in the next month, 2 months. And nobody's really talking about this. Finally, X is showing stuff that's happening. Facebook has been blocking it. I've been trying to share stuff. They block it. They won't let you upload it. I even posted about when they were not letting me upload to my page. And it's just sad and heartening that the message has to get out. I worry that they'll cancel me for doing this because you never know what they're trying to cover up. Shut up, then something has happened. Question everything around you. Verify the verified. Don't take anybody's word for it. Make sure you see, do your own research. But that's all I really got. I appreciate y'all stopping by. If you're in these areas, share what's going on. Am I speaking the truth? Am I lying? Am I right? Am I wrong? Do I need to add something? Do I need to research something? Let me know and I'll keep talking. I'll keep putting it out there. I hope y'all are all doing well. Take care of yourself. Prepare yourself. Start reading, learning how to prepare when the lights go out.
Welcome back. I found all of those clips yesterday and today on Twitter and TikTok. There were many, many more, but I think the ones we just heard make the situation clear. The first few were from an account called Into Thin Air. The third from Alexa was Stu Peters. And by the time I had a chance to ask the question, we have Alexa at work, the issue had been addressed. Other accounts were Ryan Mata Media, Celebrate 828, Glenn Beck, Joanna Mizat, Jonathan Howard, a guy named Tom, Stephen Crabtree, Elizabeth Duffy, and Callum Archer. The last clip was from a guy named Yak Motley, and he did a fantastic job compiling all kinds of information, or as our government would call it, malinformation. You know, information that's true, but which our overlords would rather we not know. But when he said the military needs to help, like they did in Afghanistan and Iraq, and like they're doing in Syria and South America, all I could think was, oh my God, you sweet summer child. They are helping like we helped in those countries. We want the people's stuff, so we destroy their homes and make their land uninhabitable, and then we take their stuff. Although we usually go for the oil, once upon a time, we did a lot of lithium mining in Afghanistan. The sad thing is that when you know and have seen evidence that your government is willing to do anything, including kill you, in order to gain whatever it is thereafter, there's nothing you should not put past them. Weather can be manipulated, and since when do hurricanes go that far inland and remain that powerful even when hitting mountains? And don't give me that climate change bullshit. Weather can be manipulated, and corporations do want that lithium and quartz. They've been buying up homes and land for a while, but many people, people whose families had lived on their land and in their homes for generations, those people refused to sell. Now, those who survived may feel they have no choice but to sell. And for the rest, I won't be at all surprised if the government kicks them out of their homes and off their land. Oh, it's too dangerous for you to continue living there, so we're condemning your property, and the only thing that can be done safely there is mining for lithium and quartz. We the people have been programmed to believe, and more importantly, to accept, that if Daddy says no, Daddy means no. So we'll see what happens. We can't afford to look away, or the areas and people decimated by Helene will become just another Flint or East Palestine or Joplin, etc., ad nauseam. Let's take our power back and bring our government to heel. So I want to thank you for hanging out with me. We'll be back with what was going to be tonight's show next Saturday at 12 a.m. Sunday. In the meantime, politicians and their mouthpieces in the legacy media have been worried, yeah right, about a civil war. They keep talking about the possibility to put that thought in our heads because they're trying to program us into fighting each other. I have never heard a regular person mention civil war. It's always politicians or prostitutes, because a civil war for them would be preferable to a revolution. And that thought put me in the mood for some Judy Sill. This has been Shock Talk. Sweet dreams.
This song is about the union of opposites.
Somewhere we breathe, there's one.
Promise me this and all.